Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? Out of all, you're the only one in place. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, "Into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong. You held on tightly to me. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of."
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our show provides our listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in our children. Now, listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience with the Learning Lab. I'd like to introduce to you your hosts for tonight's show. That's Mark Shaheen and Dr. Patricia Saluddin. As-salamu alaykum to you both.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to Dr. Patricia Saluddin, and to our very astute radio listening audience there at IWDM Radio. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Saluddin and Rashid Salam of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday right here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. We ask that you bring it to the lab in terms of questions, in terms of question, not question, but parenting and family reconstruction. We are aware of the fact that many of you listen in to IWDM Radio each and every week here to the various productions, and you have to call in to be a participant. We do ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart, and the only tools you'll need is a sharp pencil, ink pen, and a notebook. And I'm going to give you that number right now that you can call in if you have a question or comment on any of the information that we disseminate tonight on the Learning Lab. To call into IWDM Radio, that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And press 1, Rashid Salam will notify me and Dr. Saluddin that you have your hand in the air, and we will open your mic so you can ask your question or make a comment. We also want you to know that we are fast approaching the 7th anniversary of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that began way back in 2017, the end of January 2017, on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. And we're looking at having a special celebration on January 31st and maybe some special guests at that time. So stay tuned for that. We also want you to know that the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab does have a foundation for disseminating information and education when it comes to correct parenting from an Islamic base and how to reconstruct a destructive family life. And those three vital components that are sources that form the foundation is first Al-Quran, the final revelation to all of humanity. The second source that we use is the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet, in terms of demonstrating and living the Quran. And the third source is a tafsir. Tafsir simply means the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. These are the three vital components that form the foundation for the dissemination of information and education that we utilize for this platform in terms of Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and also the Sister Learning Lab, which is a Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We want you to know that throughout the years, there have been some staples that we have established here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We have given a very simplistic but a very profound definition. When it comes to parenting, we said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and yes, the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility, and at this time we want to dismiss the misnomer that this is the role and responsibility for the mother only. No, it is the responsibility and role for the nurturing and cultivating in these vital components that comprise the holistic human being, not only the mother, but also the father. And also the role and responsibility that we have as conscientious parents is that we are to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities first and foremost in themselves, in their family, and then their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means God willing, that if we are conscious regardful of our responsibility and our obligation to our children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, another staple that we have established here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that is Almighty God, Allah, Al-Khaliq, the Creator, who is the first teacher of his human creation. He's the first teacher of his human creation. However, when birth comes to earth, he has given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, that in a Sahih Hadith has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many interpretations of that, but she will be given the honor and distinction to be the first caretaker and also to provide the foundational knowledge, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And with that being said, it has become a tradition here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always have an overview from the previous production last week of those of you who may have missed it, or those of you who may have attended. It's actually refreshing to know some of the highlight points. And for that, one of the best to do it, my good sister and friend, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. How are you this Wednesday evening?
Wa alaikum as-salam, Brother Mark. Alhamdulillah. How are you? I am doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm still doing. I ain't done yet, obviously. I say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I'm always fired up on Wednesday, as you can hear in my voice. There's always excitement because I know it's time for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And the things that we see in the world today, if we're ever going to right the wrong and we're going to remake the world, we have to begin in that first social institution in human society, and that's the sacred institution of family. Back to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Thank you, Brother Mark. That is definitely the case. We do have to honor our family. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to the Parent and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we are using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. As we search ourselves and review all the actions and parental behaviors that we use with our children, we can find that our behavior and actions are results of how we were treated or the perception of treatment from our parents or caretakers. The authors provide an evaluative tool to assess parents' approach to raising children. The evaluative statement used in this episode, we are going to cover two. One is number 7 in the book, I let my child make simple decisions that are specific to them and reasonable for their age. The key word is in this statement is decision making. From this statement emerged the following topics: the benefits of allowing children to make decisions, ways to teach children decision making, and how do we teach the decision making process how the parents teach the decision making process. So we're going to go back and look at each one, starting with benefits of allowing children to make decisions. In our discussion, we concluded that these are some benefits that allowing children to make decisions comes to our children. One is it builds confidence in the child by confirming ability. It gives the child affirmation. It strengthens communication between parent and child. It gives children an opportunity to learn lessons when mistakes are made. It grants the opportunity to learn the decision-making process. It aids in growth and the development of a child, and it brings a child closer to Allah. And then there are two ways we may teach the decision-making process. We can teach it through instruction and by modeling, and you can do both at the same time. Now, how do we teach children decision-making? The decision-making process. Well, we can think about the categories, and the categories we can consider is, if just in case we're not sure, decision making can be centered around food, clothing, and shelter. Understanding the process of life can make decision making and ease the purpose, not the process. Understanding the purpose of life can make decision making process an easier one. We just start early with our child, appropriate decisions. Considering the age of the child. We can give the child limited choices from which to choose. Now, I'm not going to go give examples for each one for the sake of time. So if you want to hear those examples, please go back to Blog Talk Radio and look for this particular episode. Avoid giving a child too many choices. Avoid giving choices that you are not willing to support. Help children to make reasonable and rational decisions. This can be done by helping children to evaluate decisions, teach children their purpose of life, which is to serve Allah, teach them to evaluate their decisions by asking, is the decision made aligned with what Allah expects or demands from a human being or his servants? Help children to make decisions that fit his or her true nature, and emphasize that we are rewarded by God for our good decisions. And we are forgiven for our mistakes, because we will make mistakes. From this, sometimes we make decisions that are not the best decision. We have to remember and help our children to remember that Allah will forgive our mistakes. And Allah, keep in mind, help our children to keep in mind, that Allah gave all human beings freedom and free will. And then the second statement that we covered for that episode is statement number 8 in the book, and it states, I feel that the stress and new responsibilities of adapting to a new environment as an immigrant are a heavy burden on my spouse and I. They don't leave enough time to meet the needs and wants of our children. Now, this may pertain to immigrants, but it also may pertain to people who may be in a different situation, or they may move from one place to the next, or may change jobs. So this can apply to more than just being an immigrant. In this discussion, the host emphasized to parents the importance of meeting the needs and wants of their children. Brother Mark gave Barack Obama, as an example. During his presidency, Mr. Obama and his wife and First Lady Michelle Obama always met the needs of their children. Despite their busy schedule of running the country, they spent time with their children. although they had servants and assistants to take care of the children, the Obamas always were intentional and explicitly nurtured and cultivated the lives of the children regardless of the circumstances. Brother Mark reminded parents that they are responsible for the life that they bring into the world, and it is important that regardless of circumstances, parents should place meeting the needs of their children on their list of priorities. In conclusion, Allah established the sacred life of family and the institute of marriage. Our children are our present. They are time-wise and as a gift. Teaching children to make decisions that are influenced by their love and obedience to Allah will grant them a successful life. May Allah continue to bless and guide our parents and our children. Amen. Back to you, Brother Mark.
Amen. I want to say alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And once again, excellent as always, excellent overview, Dr. Patricia Slaughter. We thank you so much. So much information. As she said, please go back to the archives here at IWDM Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Type in IWDM Radio, type in the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that was done last Wednesday, which was January the 10th, and you can assess it in its entirety. Thank you so much, and to tonight, we got quite a bit to cover tonight, Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean, in terms of how do we link our children closer to Allah or closer to God. I think that's a very, very important topic tonight in lieu of the fact that we see that our children are not linked to God, nor are they linked to family, nor are they linked to community. And these links are vitally important, and because they are not linked, they seemingly don't have the respect and the value, you know, in their own life for human life. Many, not all generalities, never the reality, but we see it happen too often, unlike when we were coming up, where there was a link to God, that there is a God, and that we had to be conscious, regardful of God, and how important and significant that family life was and neighborhood and community life is, that is missing today. So if you would, Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean, let's see what the Bashirs, the co-authors of this outstanding publication, say about that and see if, in fact, that we can extrapolate some good out of this reading. And we want to say to our radio listeners, if you just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean, Mark Shaheed, and Rashid Salam. And we do invite your questions and your comments in regards to what you are hearing tonight. So at this point, Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Mark. So what the Bashirs did in link the child to Allah, they gave us several ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take them one by one.
Okay.
The first one is regarding the linking the baby. So he starts with the baby, then he goes on to being positive. Then he goes into stories about the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Quran. So you go into several categories. They divide into several categories. So we're going to start with the babies. The concept of linking our children to Allah is a very important concept for Muslims. It is a continuous process that begins with the birth of the child. The instruction of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to make the adhan, the call to prayer, in the child's right ear, to make the and the ikama in the child's left ear right after birth. This way, the first word they hear is the name of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From then on, parents should always make sure that the child is hearing the name of Allah. The recitation of Quran, tasbih, and regular prayers and supplications, even if the child is very young and does not understand their meaning. Parents should take their children with them to the Juma prayer. After prayer, parents can put their child on their lap and make the end of prayer, tasbih, on the child's hands. So that's the one about the baby. So you want to stop there and perhaps there's some words that our listeners need to know more about.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And I think that's excellent what the Bashirs have given. Remember, the topic tonight is how do we link our children to Allah, or how do we link our children to God? Just in case that you're not Muslim, we're saying, how do you link your children to God? Well, it's the tradition, was the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, at birth to earth, the first thing that they would hear would be called the Adhan. The Adhan, for those who don't know, this is the Muslim call to prayer. You know, the voice in terms of calling or alerting Muslims that it's time for prayer. And the first thing that they hear is Allahu Akbar, and that's repeated four times, that God is greater, God is bigger, and more important. Now, you might say, well, why is this so very, very important? Well, what words could you think of that would be more important than the one that has brought and made it possible for the life that we have as human beings? And it's very important to note that from 0 to 7, these years or the imprinting years or impressionable years are oftentimes in social sciences called formative years. And words make people. Even though the baby at the age and stage that it is that won't be able to understand that, it actually goes into the subconscious mind of our babies. Allahu Akbar, you understand? And it stays in there as a deposit in the subconscious mind, Allahu Akbar. And then also we know that the Adhan also contains the Shahadatain. That's noteworthy. The call of the prayer, it actually contains the Shahadatain, that which you have to take when you become of age and consciously aware that there is nothing that deserves to be served or worshipped except but one God, Allah alone. And he doesn't have partners, he doesn't have associates, and that there was a man many years ago that was the seal of the prophets and was the messenger of God, you understand, that received the final revelation for all of humanity, and that was Prophet Muhammad. So it is actually acknowledging and bearing witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is God's servant and his messenger. Very, very important. All of that is there. And it's inviting you to come Ayah al-Salah twice. Come to a higher elevation. Come to prayer. And Ayah al-Falah, come to cultivation. Come to success. You know, all of this is embodied in the Adhan. Very, very important. Now, they won't understand that at the very beginning, because there's so much that's into that, but it actually will ignite the mind to, in terms of curiosity, and they'll be familiar with that call because this was one of the first things that they actually heard. And so the Iqama, we know it means, you understand, that we are to stand and stand upright and to begin the prayer is ready, and that it is the Quran that stands life up upright. So there's much to be said in regards to that, but these are the two most important things. This became the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad in his time, and that tradition still is maintained and sustained in the community of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Back to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Okay, thank you, Brother Mark. And what I would like to add to this this topic is the fact that a baby can actually hear before it is born. It is scientifically proven that they can hear starting at week 18. So I would think that instead of waiting until the baby is born to let them hear the sounds of prayer, letting them hear the sounds from the Quran, I would suggest that we start before the baby is born, before birth, that we start letting our child hear the Quran. And, of course, the child is going to hear you praying or hear prayer. But go a little bit further by also playing Quran for them in the womb, talking to them about Allah in the womb, telling them stories about the Prophet in the womb, reading them stories. They can hear, and you can start, I would suggest, since they can hear, start as early as as early as 18 weeks. So that was what I wanted to add to that.
Leila, and I concur with you. Just as the mother feeds the physical life while it's in the womb in this gestation process, there is a gestation process in terms of the intellect of the child. And also that has to be fed. The emotion has to be fed. The spirit of the child has to be fed. All those vital components will have a lot to do in terms of how that child is shaped and formed in the womb. So this is shaping and forming in the womb. It's just not only a physical shaping and forming in the womb. As Dr. Salahuddin said, this is very, very important. And this has been because of the study. They didn't know that over 1,400 years ago that the faculty of hearing was one of the first faculty to be actually evolved, where it's actually hearing what's happening, you know. So nothing can happen better for the mother in terms of a God-conscious mother that's mm-hmm. listening to Dan and sharing that with the new life and the Ikama and also Salat. So you're spot on, Dr. Salahuddin.
Oh, wonderful. One other thing I wanted to add, because I remember this from my experience learning from the lactation counselor, are these people who come and help you to learn how to nurse your child naturally. Of course, I didn't have that experience because I didn't know about those people when I had children. But when my children were having children, when my daughters were having children, we were introduced to this profession, this type of work where the women would come and help you to, they call them lactation consultants. They would come mm-hmm. and help you. Sometimes babies would be a little backwards with that. So anyway, one lady told us, she says, look, when you nurse your child, when that child is receiving, is in that state of receiving that milk we know Allah gave us this wonderful food that this child is receiving. She mm-hmm. said that once the child receives that food, his brain is so wired. It is so alert. It is so ready to receive knowledge. She mm-hmm. said, now, she wasn't Muslim. She said, well, you know what? If you want to teach him chemistry, go get a chemistry book and read it to them. So I thought, well, if that's the case, then let's get a Quran and read to the child after he finished nursing. Or teach him the attributes, the 99 attributes of Allah, whatever, you know, because his brain is ready to take it on. So alhamdulillah, I thought that was, I was so amazed by that bit of information that she gave me. And keep in mind, she wasn't Muslim. She was talking about general knowledge. But as a Muslim, you're thinking, yes, let's teach them the Quran. Let's teach them whatever it is that we want them to know in life as servants of Allah. So, okay, so I'll move on to the next one.
Okay.
The next one is talking about the positive image that we present to our children.
Mm-hmm.
And it states, parents must try to present a positive, protecting, and loving image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their children, and not in a threatening or frightening way. Unfortunately, some parents always paint a picture of Allah as a punishing God by what they say and by how they say it. For example, some parents tell their young child, if you don't do such and such a thing, Allah will put you in the hellfire. Even worse, some parents repeat this threat to their children over and over during the day. This is an incorrect approach that paints the wrong picture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to children's minds. Young children are easily frightened. Therefore, it is more appropriate and better to talk to them about Allah positively, saying such things as, Allah loves you because you help your sister, or Allah loves you because you perform your prayers. Even when children do something inappropriate, parents can still comment with a positive portrayal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if a child is pushing her sister, a parent can say, Allah knows that you can play nicely with your sister, and he loves to see you sharing.
Mm-hmm.
When their children are very young, parents should concentrate on Allah's kind, merciful, and gentle attributes when they talk to their children. This does not mean that they should not mention that Allah will punish those who do evil deeds. It just means that the emphasis should be on the rewarding and forgiving attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the child grow older, as the children grow older, parents can talk more about punishment and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's it.
Yes. Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, you know, I like that information, you know, because we remember the topic tonight is how can we link our children closer to Allah. And Allah has so many beautiful attributes and all. And we've learned in this religion, we have to become practitioners of it. We've learned from the Quran, what Allah speaks in the Quran, that his mercy is far greater than his wrath in terms of seeking to punish, you know. So this is what should be conveyed to our children in that regard. And we want them to have the best of in terms of behavior and conduct. And this is part of God's will for us to have the right connection. We're talking about how not only parenting, but how do we reconstruct the destructive family life. And those type of teachings early on, especially in the formative years, can be very, very disalarming and can be very detrimental to our children. We want to instill, as the Bashir said, positive things, affirmation in terms of, and, you know, we want the information. We want our children to get the information as to how family life is to be constructed. You know, it's supposed to be constructed in a loving way, kind way, compassion, consideration, sensitivity. All of these are qualities and characteristics that we want to grow up in our children. And so we have to share those attributes, al-asna, al-usna, the 99 beautiful known names. We should always say known names because we can't put limitation on the attributes, These are the 99 known to the conscious human being, but there are many, many more in that regard. So I say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. We should utilize that, and we should give as a beautiful picture as we possibly can when it comes to our Lord and Creator, to our children that we know they can't see but can understand and realize that God possesses these things, and God has a will for us as human beings and how we ought to treat each other in the sacred institution of family life. And I want to say to those of you who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and Rashid Salam and Mark Shahid. If you have a question or comment, anything that you may have heard already, if it's resonating with you, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is just press 1, and we know that many of you are listening by way of the Internet. You do have to call into IWDM Radio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, myself, we would love to hear from you. Press 1 and let us know if what you're hearing tonight, does this make sense to you? I mean, if you're a Muslim or you're a non-Muslim, don't you think that our children, as Dr. Slaw-Dean so eloquently articulated, you can't start too early. If we understand the formation, the gestation, the maturation that happens in the womb, it's just not only a physical maturation, but it is also mental and is also an emotional maturation that's actually taking place in the womb. And we want to feed our children well in the womb, and also we want to be good examples for them when they come out. This helps them to be connected in the right way. So we want to go to Rashid Salam. Rashid Salam, we got any hands in the air? Press 1. You got any hands in the air at this time?
No, sir. We have hands in the air, Mark. Everyone is listening.
Okay. Well, you know, Rashid, I want to always give you an opportunity. Thus far, is anything resonating with you in terms of you think these things will actually help to link our children to God, and really the absence of what it is that we see right now today? What if we were, as a society, I didn't say as a Muslim community, but as a human society, what if these two things, and we haven't gotten through all of them, Dr. Slaw-Dean hasn't gotten through all of them, but what if these two things was implemented instantaneously? Could that, would that make a difference in the psychological emotion makeup of our children today?
Yo, alhamdulillah, bismillah, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mark, you know, this is my favorite day. You know, Wednesdays, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And, man, as Dr. Patricia made some serious comments about starting early and being able to read and expose our children to what we refer to in most cases noise compared to the truth that we can instill in our children at a young age. I have some personal experiences that I've had when you said, how do we link our children to Allah? You know, and the best way to do that is through communication, through demonstration, and also you being a good example. So I had a few things that came to my mind when I was growing up. When I had my children, they were very young. I was the only Muslim in my family, and one of my children was adopted. And calling the azan in the morning, that's how they got up in the morning. And they heard me calling the azan, you know. And then we have we always had science classes. I cut the TV off. We talk about that universe and the sun, the moon, the stars. And one of the things that was really interesting to my youngest son, it was that he was amazed by birds and how he got, you know, telling those stories and sharing those stories on how cells created all of you, your two eyes, your two hands, your two feet. And that was so interesting to them, and they were really good in science and math at that time. But one of the things that I did that was really, I remember, my daughter reminds me of it all the time, reading the story of the Prophet Muhammad. And she still to this day, when I read it to her when she was 5 and 6, she always talks about the story when he went to the cave and heard the revelation. That stuck to her. You know, and so she called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me, Dad, help me. I want to talk to my daughter, Mira, about the cave. You know, I said, wait a minute. You remember that all these years? She tells these stories about the birds. She tells these stories about the human consumption. And she is really good at having science, the plants and things of that nature. But they watch you pray. And one of the things I remember, my son was 5 years old. And I was in the bedroom, and he said, Dad, look at Anton. He was standing in a chair calling me a dad. He was doing what he saw me do. He was doing what he saw
imitating.
Me do.
Imitating.
You know? Yeah. And he wouldn't stop. He didn't get the words right, but he knew I love what. But all the other words he was, what he could remember, what he could think of, and he was demonstrating that rhythm, and it really resonated with him and that spirit. So I say by example is one of the greatest things we can do, and then communicating and talking about the creation, I think it's really the most important thing where they're at those ages where they get inquisitive. And Sister Sally Dane was talking about, you know, the emulating of the sounds and things of that nature. So it was really, it brought back memories for me, you know, and that story and the birth and the human body, why I got 5 fingers, where they come from. Well, what a great conversation. What a great story. What a great session to sit down with your children, and they are really interested in themselves.
Thank you so much, we really appreciate you actually sharing that. So you're just bearing witness to this, and actually having been a conscious parent, grandparent and all, and you're witnessing how this can have a positive impact in that connection and everything. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much, Rashid, for sharing that insight with us. Dr. Salahuddin, I know there's more, so let's see how much more can we get today. Take yourself off of mute, Dr. Salahuddin. Are you there? I think she is. You're on mute. We can't hear you. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salahuddin. Rashid, can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Sir. She accidentally dropped off the phone. I'm sure she'll be back on.
Oh, she dropped off. Okay, so she'll call back in, and just while she's trying to call back in, you can alert me when she gets back in. You know, I'll just make a comment on what it is. This is so very so valuable and important, what you said, Rashid, because most of us in our adult life, when we were raising our children, we just didn't know these things. We just didn't know these things. We didn't know. We wasn't thinking about, how we could be connecting our children to the Creator, so that there would be a regard for this, a respect, a value for the life that we have, and knowing that there's a Creator that created all of this, and He created all of this for us. I think that's so very important. He said God created all of this, and He created for us. Okay, so we're back with Dr. Salahuddin, and Dr. Salahuddin, I think that was excellent what Rashid Salam gave, and he shared with us in terms of his parenting, grandparenting skills.
Uh-huh.
Thinking how important that is, because as I was saying, most of us, you understand, when we were raising our children, we didn't have access to this information, but then we might have been doing some of these things unconsciously, not knowing and realizing that we were linking our children to the Creator through the natural creation, and having more love and appreciation and respect for Allah creating all of this for us, for the human being, not for himself, but for us. That's very important. Dr. Salahuddin, what else do we have there? I know some other things that the Bashirs have there. You can share with us for the time that we have left.
Okay, the time, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you're good. All right, so the next area or category is telling stories. So telling stories of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, emphasizing the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports the believers are effective ways to link the child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make him feel that Allah is with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these stories include how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his messengers sallallahu alaihi wasallam during migration from Mecca to Medina, and the one about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the believers during the Battle of Badr. And this is storytelling. I just wanted to say that when it comes to telling stories, it is one of the best ways to teach someone something. It's the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to children, when they're very young, definitely storytelling is a very effective way of teaching them something you want them to know. And then as you get older, storytelling is still the best way to teach them. And teenagers, you'd be surprised. I'm sorry, we have children reading novels. And when they get older, now we can have them reading the Sirah or teach having lessons from the Sirah about the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. So that storytelling, it stays with you. And as Brother Rashid mentioned about his daughter was asking about a story that she remembered that he read her when she was growing up. So that's an indication of what that storytelling is a very effective way to teach children. And research has shown storytelling is the number one way to teach children.
That's great information. So, yes, please just utilize storytelling. What better stories or narratives, you know, because we used to – I like narratives. Also, it's an exchange in that word because for whatever reason, we was not allowed to say telling a lie. No, you're telling a story. You're telling a story. So, alhamdulillah. But we know that the stories that we're talking about are coming from the Quran, Islamic base. They're narratives. They also teach lessons. Parents, especially our grandparents that didn't have a lot of education, for most, they would tell stories. You know, and it'd be true stories in regards to them, family members, or experiences that they had. I can see why it would be number one in terms of being impressionable to our young people, especially those stories that have a life lesson. That child always will remember that story that their mother or their father gave to them. And it don't always have to be stories out of books. You know, it's good. You can. There's many stories or narratives in the Quran that teach lessons, even in the lifetime of the Prophet, you know. So, alhamdulillah. So, Dr. Slaudeen, I think we might be able to squeeze in maybe one more, if you would, please.
Okay. You know what? I'm curious to know, and maybe after I read this one, we'll get some hands. But I am curious to know, what is the favorite story? I know there's we have some listeners. What's your favorite story from the life of the Prophet, or just any prophet? So I'm throwing out that thought out there for them.
Okay,
I'm going
so
to go on and read the next.
Yeah, we got a few minutes, so Dr. Slaudeen is asking this. So please, come on, those of you listening, you read the Quran. What's your favorite story? That's what Dr. Slaudeen is asking. Yeah, it don't take that long just to say what's your favorite story, maybe a narrative that you read in the Quran. Press one. Just share. All you got to do is just say, what is your favorite story? I know you have one. In terms of the Prophet, so what that's in the Quran. What's your favorite story? Press one and share with us. Give us a minute or less, if you would. Press one at this time. Share, what's your favorite story? You don't have to go into it. Just share with us your favorite story. That's what Dr. Slaudine is asking. All right, Rashid Salam, we have anybody with their hand up?
No hands, Mark. We have people in the queue, but no hands. Yeah.
Okay, well, Rashid, we're going to give you, if you can do it very succinctly, Rashid, what's your, yeah, I mean, your favorite story, you read the Quran, anything that stands out to you? I know you say your daughter in terms of the cave and all. Anything that really stands out to you as a narrative before we...
Sure, Surah Al-Kahf. That's my favorite. Surah. That's a whole story itself. Al-Kahf. And, you know, it's... Oh, you got three or four different stories, but all those stories intrigue me because I know the parables, the signs, the symbols, and it makes you really want to study to find out what the really true meaning of those stories are.
Mm-hmm.
The story of Al-Kahf is one that I've always been impressed with. That prophet said one of the best stories.
You're breaking up there. You're breaking up there. Yes, sir. You're breaking up pretty bad there, Rashid. Yeah, those stories in Al-Kahf, you know, I agree with you. They actually are intriguing, and we know that there is some deep, deep insight there. And there's a lesson to be learned because Allah does not waste words, and he uses every similitude to teach us. And as Dr. Slaudine has said, that storytelling, number one, in terms of making an imprint on you. So most certainly no better stories than those narratives that's in the Quran. All right, so we're right at the top, the top of the hour, and as we get ready to make the transition to the MGM roundtable, I want to give Dr. Slaudine the last minute, if she would, and give us a closing statement. And I'm thinking that we'll, inshallah, look at picking up and completing this chapter next week. Dr. Slaudine?
Yes, Brother Mark. You know, when we talk about link the child to Allah, to me that's one of the most important things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that child, I mean, that's your whole thing. You know, you want them to love Allah, know Allah, and obey Allah.
Yes.
And serve Allah, which they'll be obeying. And,
yes.
And if you can teach your child to do that, you don't have to worry about him or her at any point.
That's
because
right.
This is what they do. They are going to be making their decisions, their life decisions, their family decisions, anything that they do, they're going to do it because they are focused on their purpose in this life, and that's to serve Allah and to please Allah, and they're going to make the right decisions. And even when they make wrong decisions, they're going to be okay. And even when they have challenges, they're going to be okay because they are linked to Allah. So
yes.
If we can just get that, we can link these children, our children, to Allah, I think that would be one of the most important things that we can do for them, the best thing that we can do for them. So those are my closing comments.
Oh, wow, that's an excellent way to close out. I love that, what you left, and hopefully that is noteworthy, you know, to be able to love Allah and, you know, to know Allah, and also to actually serve Allah. That really, in fact, defines the purpose for actually being. You don't have to be concerned nor worry about them. They'll be just fine in this life. Thank you so much, Dr. Slaudine, each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month, sharing your insight and wisdom. And I think this is an excellent learning lab tonight, and excellent commentary and closing remarks in terms of linking our child, our children, with Allah, God. And I want to thank you. Assalamu alaikum. And we're going to ask you, if you can stick around for the MGM roundtable, because we're going to be taking on a topic tonight. No guests. All of you that's tuned in and listening in, will be the guest at the round table, and you can start thinking on it right now, and that is, who makes Muslim? And how is a Muslim made? Who makes Muslim, and how is a Muslim made? We'd like for you to share your insight tonight. All of you are guests here on the MGM Roundtable. So as we get ready to transition, you know I'm going to ask you, a very distinguished radio listener audience here at IWDM Radio, to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the cause. To IWDM Radio, and you're listening now to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And as always, for all of my productions, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet, I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That's heard each and every Wednesday night right here on IWDM Radio. And I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience. That's the peace that only Almighty God Allah can give. And it becomes a dua and an obligation and accountability on the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum. And I want to just say, those of you who tune in each and every Wednesday, know I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Also, I have guests at times that's not in the Muslim community at all. And sometimes we'll take on a topic, and you'll find in 2024 I'm going to be doing more of that. And this MGM Roundtable, Muslim Global Message Roundtable, is designed also to have topics that are pertinent to us as a Muslim community and also, you know, just humanity at large, whereas we can begin to even think more and deeper in this way of life that Allah has blessed us with. And so tonight, the topic, there's a topic tonight, and that topic is, who makes Muslim? How is a Muslim made? You, my radio listening audience, you are my honored guest tonight. And this roundtable, I expect it to be crowded tonight. And those of you who are tuned in, listening in, to actually call in, punch in one, and to give us your insight as to who makes Muslim and how is a Muslim made, you know, in that regard. I want to start this this roundtable off by having my engineer, Rashid Salam, go to the Quran in terms of Surah 30 in the Quran, and those of you who have your Qurans close by, please open it up. And let's see, let's read something that I think will help in terms of setting the foundation for having this topic discussion tonight. And after it's read, and I'll give you, inshallah, a sahih hadith, and you'll see, Brother Mark Shaheed, you already know the answer to that. We know the answer to that. What's your point? So please be patient and see if we can answer that question, who makes Muslim and how is Muslim made? That's the topic tonight. So Rashid Salam, if you would do us the honors of reading from Surah 30, Ayat 30 of the Quran. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Can you hear me pretty good, Mark?
Yes, sir. I can hear you very well.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. Surah 30, Ayat 30. It says, therefore, stand firm in your devotion to the upright faith, nature by Allah, the one on which mankind is created, and never should you try to change Allah's creation. That is the standard of true faith. Most among mankind do not know. Surely Allah the Most High speaks the truth.
Yes, Sadaqallah Udeen. And we say that Allah speaks the truth. And so we have that. And inshallah, if Rashid Salam, if you have Yusuf Ali's translation there, if it's close by, if you can get that, I'm going to have you to read that. And while he's doing that, if he has Yusuf Ali translation in terms of 30-30, we'll have him to read that. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a sahih hadith. Sahih means that very solid, very firm hadith where he was reported as saying that every child is born a Muslim, but it was their environment, parenting environment that made them otherwise. Okay, we've heard that many of us has been in the community for many years, and just to borrow our beloved sister, the priest Abdul Hadi, as she liked to refer those that's been in the community for many years, is seasoned Muslims, seasoned believers, seasoned shahadas. She says seasoned shahadas, in that regard. But we also have had conversation, and oftentimes in conversation, we would often hear, only Allah makes Muslim. How many times, let me ask the radio listening audience here, we're just talking as a family. Just imagine, it's wintertime all over. Just imagine we're at the fireplace, a nice warm fire, and we're just having a conversation as a family tonight. And everything, and just discussing this to see if, in fact, that we're all on the same page in the same book, if you will. I'm going to facilitate this, and I'm just asking you to be a participant in this, all of you that's tuned in. I may have actually heard that I've been involved in a conversation, and and somebody said, or we actually said ourselves, only Allah makes Muslim. You know, is if and though that He made some Muslim, some not Muslim. I'm just going to ask you at this time, if you would just press one, if you heard that statement been made before. In your Muslim life, you know Allah makes Muslim. Just press one. I'm going to ask you to hold it for 10 seconds. Just press one. You don't have to say nothing if you don't want to say nothing now. And I'm at 5. And I'm at 10. So, Rashid, did we get any participation? Did anybody ever heard that statement? You know Allah makes Muslim.
Yes, sir. We did have participation, Mark. We have a hand still raised, and whether they want to comment or not is a different story.
Yeah, well, we want them to make a comment, and I want them to just share, just a little bit, a little bit in terms of if they said, only Allah makes Muslim, or it was said to them. So please, those of you who press one, please share with us here. We're just having a family conversation tonight on the MGM Roundtable. Hopefully you're warm where you're at. So just imagine, I want to use your imagination tonight, that you got a nice warm fire, you had a nice little meal, and we're just having a family conversation at the dining room table and all. So press one, and Rashid, let's open the mics and see if our radio listening audience, that's my guest now, I want you to be good guests and participate with me tonight in talking about this. Let's see if we can extrapolate even a little bit more than what may have been said to us in the past. Only Allah makes Muslim. Allah makes Muslim now. Okay. Rashid, let's go. Let's see.
We have 609-515. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
My name is Dina Abdur-Rahim. But I have a question before I make a statement. That is, are you asking if that has ever been said to you, or are you also looking for what has the response been to the question or the statement?
Yes, actually both. I mean, that's an excellent question that you're asking. Actually, both, my dear sister, both. Have it been said to you? You've been engaged in a conversation before, and it may have been, said in a conversation. You know, only Allah makes Muslim, that regard. So, yes, you can answer both ways, if you would, please.
Yes, that statement has been said to me before on a couple occasions. And also, from what I understood of Allah choosing you to be a Muslim, I also felt that it wasn't just because you were chosen, that it was something that Allah has seen in you to choose you.
Mm-hmm.
And what he sees of you in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, excuse me. I didn't get your first name, my sister. I'm sorry.
Dina.
Bina or Dina?
Dina. D-I-N-A.
Okay, Dina. Okay. Okay, sister Dina. And thank you so much for calling in. Let me understand this from your understanding. You're saying that Allah choose you to be Muslim. I'm understanding that. What you're saying that Allah choose you to be Muslim.
Right, but I think it's more entailed in it as far as what I feel or think, and that is because I think it's something that Allah sees within you. You're seeking, your humbleness about you. I feel that it may be something within the nature of the individual that Allah chooses them, why he chooses them.
Okay. So let me ask you this then, in terms of how you're looking at it. I know you read the Quran, and Allah says he guides those whom he pleases, and he leaves some others to stray. So are you saying that God would discriminate? And I'm asking tough questions here tonight. Do you think that God would discriminate? In other words, what I'm asking is, are you saying and thinking, and the radio listeners, I want you to press 1-2, are we thinking that God says, I'm going to choose you to be Muslim, but I'm not going to choose you to be Muslim? That's my question. I know it's a tough question, but I'm asking these tough questions so that we actually think about what we're saying in terms of Allah is one who makes Muslim, but then how is a Muslim made? That's the topic tonight. So are you saying that Allah is discriminating, that he will make some Muslim and others not?
No, I'm not really saying that. I just think that maybe at the time that you accepted Islam, when Allah has chosen you, is because maybe you was already at a state or a place somewhere where you heard something Islamically and it touched your heart and Allah allowed you to come in. Just like if a person was a Christian or whatever, and if they might have been in their church or whatever and wasn't, committed to their church or whatever, but something was said in their church and that the pastor, touched their heart about, and they end up joining it. So I don't think it was like he's trying to leave anybody out from Islam itself. But as I say, I think it's perhaps where you may have been, what you may have been hearing, and what your heart was accepting from what you heard, that Allah allowed you to come on in.
Okay. All right. Alhamdulillah. No, I thank you so much, for giving us your insight in terms of, who makes Muslim and how Muslim is made. So I want you to, if you have anything else you'd like to say, like give you opportunity to do that. And if not, I'm going to ask you to press 1 and go out and keep on listening. Because I do want to say for those who participate and give some insight and everything and what there is going to be, inshallah, I'm going to give gifts. Gifts, you know, for the participation. We're hoping that we're going to learn a little bit more than what it is that we may have been thinking for years and years and years. Okay, so thank you, my dear sister. Press one as you go out. And you can come back in. You can press one and come back in if you have something else to say.
Okay, shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. All right, so we asked you to press one. Who makes Muslim? How's Muslim made? Come on, believers. Y'all been around for a long time. Talk to me here on the MGM Roundtable. Press one. Who makes Muslim? Rashid?
I think we
got somebody hands in the air.
We had one. Whether she wants to comment, it's 810-399. Please state your name. You call me from your mic. I don't know if I'm putting on the spot or not, Mark, but I thought her hair was red. Maybe I'm making a mistake. We'll see.
Well, we know who that famous voice here. Talk to us.
I'm just getting in it, though.
Abdul Hadi.
I'm here. Yeah, excuse me. Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to you, Brother Mark Shaheed, and to the listenership. Yes, this is Shafita Abdul Hadi. And I'm like, you know, one arm out the sleeve and the other one you're trying to twist and get going, but alhamdulillah, because I wanted to, you know, when you said, does Allah make Muslims, and there was something else that you said.
Yeah.
You said,
the question, the topic is, who makes Muslim and how is a Muslim made? And I had Rashid Salam to read 30-30. Out of the Quran, because it really kind of gives some information. I would say it's implicit, but it's also could be explicit if rightly understood there. And the Prophet Muhammad has said that every child that is born Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, but down through the years, is to borrow your phrase, a seasoned shahadas. We've been engaged in conversations. I'm quite sure you have, and you've heard people say, or maybe you even say, well, you know, only Allah makes Muslims. What does that mean? What does that mean? And I'm talking to the radio listeners. You know, this is a fireside chat. As a family, we're just talking as a family and see if we can extrapolate more from what it is that from maybe as to how we have been seeing it for years. We just heard our beloved sister give it from her perspective in terms of Allah choosing you know, to be Muslim. What does that mean to the priest? Abdul Hadi.
You know, Brother Mark, I'm so glad. You know, it's just wonderful. See, Allah have you come in where you want to come in at. And that is a profound question that, and we as seasoned Muslims should be able to just write off like that. You know, Allah made Muslims. But see, Allah highly glorified as he does not force anything on any of us. He gives us our directives from the very beginning, from when he had already instilled with when he created us in terms of submission. He said that that everything that he has created and is the human being, everything come to him by way as of submitting to him and being in service to him. And so knowing that, to become a Muslim, now I've heard that too, say, well, Muslim is one that submit. Surely that was the way we was created to do so, but remember Allah gave us a will, so everybody's not going to submit. But so in terms of Allah making the Muslim, Allah gives us all the same human will, if you would, that once we get the information. Now, I say
He guides you too. And when I say that includes you, everybody, don't get all, you know, don't get hyper. I'm including you. He guides us, you know, he guides us to the religion. And now, once we've been guided to this knowledge, it is upon us whether or not we accept to indulge with this knowledge, learn about it, and actually practice it. Because, you know, you can learn it, that it exists. But if you learn it and just know that it exists and does not participate in learning it, then you're not a Muslim. Now, you may have been guided by Allah, but you didn't recognize it. You didn't recognize it because Muslims know that we're supposed to study from the cradle to the grave. We know this. And that's no, that's your business. So now I say Allah making Muslims. I say Allah guides us to the path of being Muslim, but we have the choice as to whether or not we want to drink from that fountain.
Okay. I'm a lot white boy. Yeah, this is getting very interesting. This is really getting
all
very
right,
interesting. My sister's going to put Rashid out there too. This is getting very interesting because I think that we're coming closer to the mark, I mean, no pun intended, but we're coming closer to the mark in terms of what I heard you say in terms of creation. Am I correct, the priest, in terms of creation?
Yes, sir.
In terms of creating us as Muslim. Did I hear you say that? I'm thinking I heard you say that.
I see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything and said everything comes to him as a servant.
As a servant. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that we have a free will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
He guides us to that, to being, he guides us to Al-Islam. But
okay.
Now, just because we know Al-Islam exists, if we don't practice it, read it and practice it, that don't make us a Muslim because he guided us to it, because he gave us free will. He guided us to it. But if we're not willing to drink from that fountain, then we will not, he didn't force us to be a Muslim. Only when we recognize that we've been guided to the faith and accept it and say, you know, I'm gonna learn about this. And once you begin to learn and you begin to come in relationship of understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we become Muslim because what? We're studying the religion. We're studying the information, the knowledge, and getting an understanding of it. And truly, on our own free will, we say, Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Okay, that's excellent. I mean, that's some excellent information that you're given. Everything is created a servant. This is what the priest Ahadi is saying. Everything is created a servant. Allah created everything as a servant. And I'm hearing you say that one of the distinctions in the human being is that he gave the human being free will to choose to accept or reject. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. So that would determine, in terms of the guidance, of what that human being actually would get, it depending, because Allah said he does not guide those who reject his message or his sign. So, alhamdulillah. Okay, so if you have anything else you want to say, we'll give you time to do that. And if not, I'm going to continue to go to my audience and see what does that mean to my other honored guests that I've asked to listen in, tune in, and I'm going to ask them the same question. So anything else you'd like to add at this time? And you know you'll be able to come back. And...
Yes, sir.
Okay, we appreciate it. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll hold and give the rest of the audience the opportunity to you know, say, but I'll be right here, and I'm sure I'll be able to jump back in a little bit later if you want.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that insight. You know, each we hope to keep building and building as each one come on and press one. And we know, as the priest of Hadith said, we got some seasoned shahadas out there, some seasoned believers. I'm asking you the question. Since you've been Muslim, have you ever been engaged in a conversation where the maybe said the Muslim or the believer say, you know, only Allah makes Muslim. You know that, right? Only Allah makes Muslim. What does that mean to you? So only Allah makes Muslim. And how does that happen? Please press one. This is a fireside chat, you all. This is a family get-together here. And I think that something good is going to come out of this. It's going to help all of us to be able to have a clear vision that when that is said, or if we said, or something is said to us in regards to that, that we have even a better, a higher understanding. Press one at this time. Talk to me. Let's answer that question. What does that mean to you? Who makes Muslim? Well, you know Allah makes Muslim. Press one. Rashid Salam.
Yes, sir. Mark, before I take on the next call, I'm going to read the Yusuf Ali version that you asked me.
Oh, yeah, please do.
I'll open up 251's number after that. This is Surah 30, Ayat 30. Set thy face steadily and truly to the face. Establish Allah's handiwork according to the pattern on which he has made mankind. No change that there be in the work by Allah. That is the standard religion. But most among mankind understand not. Surely Allah the Most High speak the truth. So I'm going to open up 251.
Okay, let's go to 251. I think I might know who that is.
24. You state your name.
I'm really lying.
Calling from. The mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa. Who are you? Where are you from?
This is Henry Hasid in Mobile, Alabama. Of course, you know, this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and
yes,
that we'll be talking about again, inshallah, tomorrow morning.
Okay.
At 6 a.m. rather, Central Time. There,
mm-hmm.
We've been talking, as you know, of what is the purpose of, you know, human life. What is the purpose of a human being? And
yes, and
we have to hit all of these little areas. Like you say, we can call it a fireside chat of that, but we got to explore this because, believe it or not, when you look at the masses of people out here and you ask them that is human, that's supposed to be human beings, and you ask them what is the purpose of human life, and I'm talking about even educated, a lot of times they go blank. Or they come up with something that's so far-fetched that you wonder, you know, what life are they talking about? So we will continue that, but I like to read you something I've been reading on that. And it states, does everyone have a purpose in life? And I think the sister was alluding to it in the different aspects. And we have to realize that when we take a subject like this, we're going to have many different aspects, and we probably would never explore unlimited ways that we can go with the purpose, all of these purposes. But I'd just like to just share a little something. See, every one purpose in life depends on their individual belief, value, and personal experience. The journey to find one's purpose in life takes a lot of time and introspection, which involves exploring things that bring happiness to oneself. People have to really find the things that truly make them happy. And the other side of that, Mark, because when we look at the purpose of human life, we're going to find out it's always good, it's happiness, it's helping others, and all of the good benefits that we were created to be by our Creator. But there's another influence in the human life, in the human purpose of life, that take us off of those tracks that we also have to address. And we call it Shaitan, but even the people's idea of Shaitan in his purpose, we miss what the main emphasis in that. The purpose of we saying is good and helping others and happiness and that there is this thing that's called Satan that takes us away from that and gives us something else outside of the natural purpose that we were created to be by the Creator, and give us something to replace that, like alcohol and drugs, for example.
Yes.
All of these are things that take us off of the natural course of our purpose and fulfilling.
Yes.
And that.
Yeah,
so I just want to give you a little taste, but that's where we will be going, inshallah.
Yes, you're doing that tomorrow, so we ask that you do tune in to that. I always listen to it each and every Thursday morning on our sister station, AM 360, Brother Henry Hasib, Solutions for Critical Issues. That's 7 a.m. Eastern and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time and 4 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. He's going to be elaborating in terms of purpose. Tonight, the topic is on the MGM Roundtable is who makes Muslim and how is Muslim made? We want to get insight. Who makes Muslim? And my question to all of you, my guests, because if you tune in, I invited the whole audience tonight to be my honored guest. Have you ever heard in conversation, you know only Allah makes Muslim? Or have you said it? You know only Allah makes Muslim. What does that mean to you? So I'm asking everybody, please stay on topic. The topic tonight on the MGM, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, who makes Muslim and how is Muslim made? And the participation, we want to get as much participation in those that really can give us some insight. I have a special, special gift that I'm willing to send to you. Who makes Muslim? How is Muslim made? This is a fireside chat. We just finished eating a good meal and everything. We're sitting at the dining room table, and this conversation starts up. Who makes Muslim? How is Muslim made? Brother Henry, who makes Muslim?
Well,
how is Muslim made from your perspective? Who makes Muslim?
And it all ties in there together, because when we live out that purpose, the true purpose, then we know that that's Muslim. That is one who submits its will or their will to the will of God. And it all ties into together, Mark, but you have to have that submissive heart that only Allah can open up for you to be following that natural path that He created us to be on. And as I said before, that we have to be aware in trying to follow that natural path that we got an enemy that's always trying to come and take us off of that natural path.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
mm-hmm.
only Allah that can keep us on that path and keep
okay.
us, as we say, in the state of peace of Islam or Muslim. So it's only Allah can protect
yes, sir.
Us from that.
Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much, Brother Henry, for sharing your insight. Press 1 as you go out. You can always come back in. That question is still out there. We're looking to build on this. I just wanted to think about this here. Who makes Muslim? We've had the conversation. Come on, you all. Don't act like, yeah, I don't want to say nothing or what, but maybe we've been ones that have said it. You know, only Allah makes Muslim. We say, yeah, you're right. But we've said it for years. I'm trying to get us to really, 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 really think. That's why I had Rashid to read Surah 30-30 in that regard. And also Sahih Hadith of the Prophet. He said that Allah, he created all human beings as Muslims. He made all Muslim. But it becomes your environment. What environment? Your social environment that makes you otherwise. So how are we made Muslim? And I heard the priest of Hadi said that, you know, that you have to, he spoke about the heart, and Allah blessing the heart of the good believer, and they taking the Shahadatain. Let's start with that. How do we differentiate here? Does Allah discriminate in terms of he choose you to be Muslim but not his other creation? How are we are to see that? Come on, radio listening audience, talk to me. How are we to see that? Press 1. I got a good gift for somebody that can talk to me and dialogue with me on this round table tonight in terms of who makes Muslim and how is Muslim made. I want you to differentiate.
All right.
Press 1.
Yeah, I'm going to put my little 2 cents in here, Mark.
Okay. Okay, come on, put your 2 cents. I know it's worth it.
Whatever I say, the mixture, as they say, put it all together, we're going to come out with the right answer, right? let me just say this. God says, set thy face steadily, truly to the faith. So based on what my brother said about the environment and the life experiences, I must say that this social system that Allah has created, this pattern that he has created, he said, establish Allah's handiwork according to the pattern in which he made mankind. Number one. Number
okay.
two, the culmination, the cumulative deposit of who you are, the knowledge, your language, your experiences, your beliefs, your values, your attitudes, and your meanings of life, brings us closer to this pattern. And those who have the privilege to receive the truth with the culmination of all these deposits of who you are, what you are, and the course that you want to go on, Allah opens your heart to practice this faith. In doing so, it's our job to maintain this pattern. It's our job to get this understanding, and as we get this understanding with the free will that the preacher was talking about, by obeying the pattern, by following the pattern, your life circle, this blueprint is laid out to you, and let nothing interfere with that ability to get there, then Allah makes you the way he wants you to be. Because you have submitted your will to all the things that you're talking about, to all the shaping. But see, that pattern is the key. That blueprint is the key. So if we follow that blueprint and obey God's will, obey God's word, but he opened our heart to hear his word and see his word, because we recognize the pattern. And if you utilize the word will and way, then Allah will take it from there and open your heart to receive more, get more. And that design that he created as a Muslim, who you're supposed to be as a believer, as a mu'min, then I think that's how you're made.
I want to say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Boy, you're right there. I mean, you ringing the bell. You're really ringing the bell here, and this is had no conversation with him, and he can tell you that you're ringing the bell. I want to get one more thing before we take a pause for the calls, and then when we come back, I'm going to still have it open for you family that are tuned in and listening in. Don't want to keep you in any type of suspense or anything of that nature, but we want to hear from other guests in terms of who make Muslim and how is a Muslim made. You just heard Rashid Salam, you know, looking at the Quran and what it is that Allah is saying in the Quran there. I want to give another something that can and will help you, and I know some of you season. I'm using my good sister, the priest of Abdul Hadi's language. Seasoned Shahada, seasoned believer, seasoned Muslim, we've heard this. And I'm going to leave you with this as we take a pause for the calls to give you another key. It was reported that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in his time, that there was a deceased that came before him. The Prophet Muhammad, it was reported that he never stood up for anyone, and that was part of the tradition. But he stood up when a deceased body passed by him. And this was reported in terms of the body being Muslim. That's all I'm going to say, that the body, the physical body, being Muslim. Now, that's another key for you. Who makes Muslim? How is Muslim made? To make that connection, Rashid Salam is right there. He's on the door. He's ringing the bell. Let's bring it on home and bring it in. That the Prophet Muhammad stood up for the deceased body. And it's reported that the insight there is that the body was Muslim. And then remember what the Prophet Muhammad said in terms of birth to earth. That every child is born Muslim. I want you to take that. I want you to put it together and see how Allah makes Muslim. And then I want you to put together becoming conscious Muslim. And we know what it takes in the first pillar. So these are just little hints to you to put that together. When we say, you know, Allah is the only one that makes Muslim. How that's done and everything. So that we can have a better understanding, as even though that Allah discriminates against us, I'm choosing you, but I'm not choosing you. That in the tradition, in the hadith of the Prophet, that's not what's said. So, we're going to take a pause for the calls and let that kind of marinate in your mind tonight. I know you all saying, Mike Shaheed, where you come up with this topic? But we're going somewhere with it. I'm going to ask you to be patient, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the calls.
Have you ever felt a cool summer breeze? Yeah. Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? Sometimes you never get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brothers, to save your very, very soul. Make sure the whole world understands the law and full control. It's a struggle, brother. Heart and soul, a struggle, brother.
And we're back, and you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable with your host, Mark Shahid. And our special guest is our honored guest, the whole entire audience that's tuned in to IWDM Radio and the Muslim Global Message Roundtable tonight. And we're having a fireside chat, a family fireside chat, and we are discussing the topic, who makes Muslim and how is a Muslim made? This is the family talk tonight, and we've had some family members that have already come on and gave some excellent insight from their perspective in that regard. But I know that those of us that's been around for a long time, we've heard that said, you know, only Allah makes Muslim. And we probably say, you know, only Allah makes Muslim, you know. So if, in other words, it sounds like that if you're not Muslim, Allah didn't want you to be Muslim. I mean, just think about that sometimes in terms of how it was said in the conversation, that only Allah makes Muslim. And if you're not Muslim, Allah didn't want you to be a Muslim. But I've given... so we gave ayat from the Quran 30:30. We gave it some sahih hadith in terms of the prophet, and I'm asking you to put that together so we can see what it is that we're actually saying, or even in our conversation, to elevate, you understand, our understanding in terms of Allah making Muslim and how Muslim is actually made. So before we get into it, I did leave one other thing before we took a pause for the cause, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported standing up for a deceased body, which he didn't stand up for a live body regardless of what your status was, but he stood up for a deceased body. It was reported he saw that deceased body as a Muslim. I'm asking you to make these connections. So press 1 and tell me, Allah makes Muslim? How does he make Muslim? What's the connection here? What is it that we're seeing? Or are we seeing a little bit better here? Or are we still a little cloudy or confused here? As if and though Allah made you Muslim, but he didn't make your brother a Muslim, or your sister a Muslim, or your mother a Muslim, or what? What's the difference here? Talk to me. Press 1. Call in 714-816-4673, if you would. Any callers in the queue with their hands up? Rashid Salam.
No new callers, Mark, but all those who've had their hand raised, their mics are all open. If you have something they want to say, then...
I'm going to give them one other opportunity, any one of them that already made a comment, just based on some of the little information we've given, and then I will give some information that I think can be helpful and useful to us having greater insight in terms of Allah making Muslim and understanding that, but also how he makes Muslim and the relationship in terms of the creation itself. So anybody want to make any other comments? Want to add anything to what they said? First one. Wa alaikum as-salam.
This is Sadina.
I would like, the sister that came on after me, I would like to reiterate on some of the things that she said, along with several of the things that all the other speakers have said, and try to combine them, with what I think has come out so far. As one said, that Allah created everything, every human being as Muslim. When we are first born, we are Muslim. And as we know, that is our environment, our society, our families, and so forth, that can turn us into other, along, along with the experiences that we have in growing up. Or even when we're young, we still can be Muslim and come into the religion. But if Allah chooses you to accept the religion, then you basically are the one who make the Muslim if you are following Allah's directives. Because you are
so
following.
So, in other words, Dana, you're saying that your premise is that Allah has to choose you. That's what you're saying?
I'm not saying that he just chose you, period. As I stated before, I'm saying that he chose you maybe because of what he sees in you, or your what's in your heart, or where you may have been and heard something in relationship to the religion that you accepted it at the time where you. And at the same time, if Allah chose you to be a Muslim when you in that state of mind or whatever, you come into the religion, start learning the religion, and start practicing the religion, that you basically are making yourself Muslim because you are following Allah's directives and trying to live your life as a Muslim.
You're getting closer to the mark there. That's what I'm saying. You got some part in this. That's what I'm hearing. You got some part in this. Oftentimes, when you have conversations and you hear other Muslims say it, or maybe we've been guilty. I mean, to say guilty, it's not guilty, but we may have said it ourselves. You know, only Allah makes Muslim. Because even though he can make you a Muslim, he can make that person Muslim, but not you a Muslim. And I know that you all are getting what I'm saying in that regard, but I don't think all the time that we're really, really conscious of what it is that we are saying or implying, as even though we don't have a choice in the matter.
No, we have a choice. Yes, we have a choice. Allah gave us the freedom of choice. And this is why I'm saying that basically you make yourself the Muslim because of the fact that Allah has allowed you to come into religion by the choice that you have made, that he had given you the free will to do if you want to come into it. And then once you start learning it and practicing it and you're wholeheartedly trying to live your life as a Muslim, then you are making yourself Muslim because of what you're doing and following Allah's directives. And part about the prophet and the dead body or dead person going past him and him standing, perhaps it could have been because Allah has shown him and inspired him to know that this person was a believer and that he was a practicing believer. And he may have known him most of his life, or, you know, and known how he was as a human being, and that his faith was so strong, and Allah, I mean, that prophet saw that, and why he probably stayed humble, upstanding for him.
Okay. So that's your take on that. Alhamdulillah, and I appreciate you giving your take on that. Alhamdulillah, and I'm hearing a little bit more from you there. You getting closer to the door, too, I want to just say. Thank you so much for chiming back in. Want to give, press 1 as you go out, and you can always come back in. Anybody, since we gave that hadith on the prophet standing for the deceased body, anybody want to have any comments on that? and stood for a deceased body now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reported that that deceased body is Muslim. So anybody want to share anything before I start? Press one.
Brother Mark, I'm still here in the queue. And just from that high deep that you were just reading, I'm catching an echo here.
Oh, okay. Maybe, Rashid, make sure everybody's mic is closed except for the priest at this time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead, the priest.
And what I'm hearing when you're saying that is that when the prophet prayers and feast of Allah be upon him, and he stood up for that and said he saw the Muslim, you know what it took me to? It took me to, first of all, that person had the will to do right. And a non-will, you remember what Allah said in the Quran, non-will except as Allah wills. And that person had accepted to follow that guidance, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to him. And because he had accepted that guidance, then he had obtained the Muslim in the inner, you know, inner, I'm trying to think, the inner of him being Muslim. Because it's about submission. It's about submission. Submission to the information. First of all, submission to the Lord and Creator that guided you to the information. And when you got that information, be almost like those Surah 72 when the angels say, "Wow, we heard the recital. It's a wonderful recital, and we are those that took the guidance to the right." You know.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, and the wisest of all men that I can say by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was able to see that. He was able to see that inner spirit of that man having submitted his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, thank you so kindly for sharing. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, the priest of Hadi. All right. So no other hands in the air, right, Rashid? Anything else you want to add, Rashid, before I start? Anything you want to add?
As far as the body is concerned, you know, trying to figure out whether it was a metal allegory, a metal, you know, abstract, or concept, you know.
This is reported, in the lifetime of the prophet, you know, much was captured in terms of what it was that he did, because the Sahabas, those that were companions of the prophet, they watched everything that he did and when he did it and everything. And so standing up for a deceased body was signifying something here, and this is why I used it here on this topic in that regard, hoping that, that we would see something in this and then see something also in the ayat that I had you to read, 30-30. Actually did happen during the time. This is not allegorical. This is for real. For real.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that. If there's anything you want to say, I'll let you go, and then I'll come in behind you here.
I would think that our prophet, peace be upon him, knew this person, and as I said earlier in my statement, that it's a privilege to receive the truth. And so receiving the truth, if you never hesitated, if you never deviated from the will of Allah, then you remain constant as that person, as that opportunity to receive Allah's mercy, his blessings, and his word. And he lived that life. You know, he lived that life. I think the prophet, inshallah, knew that person, and he stood up for that body in a state that he was in, which was a state of peace, which is basically a state of submission honest opinion. But that I just think, you know, that pattern was followed. He did deviate from the pattern in the blueprint, and it was demonstrated, you know, probably in his knowledge of that person. And it says, maintain the standard of this way of life. That's what the Quran says.
Yes.
He maintained the standard. So he was in that state of submission, and Allah has, you know, bestowed upon him the mercy and the blessings that normally just come from you being committed to obeying.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Thank
that.
You. That's great insight too. Noteworthy that you're sharing. So alhamdulillah. Okay, so I'm going to start Bismillah Rahman Rahim with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. I'm going to start with 3030 in the Quran, and I'm going to be picking something out of some of the things that all of you have said that I think will help us to have greater insight and understanding in terms of who makes Muslim, and Allah makes Muslim, and how Muslim is actually made. When Rashid was reading that, one of the things he pointed out, which is very, very important, he's speaking about blueprint. He's speaking about pattern. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us in 3030, that the human creation is made on the same pattern as the rest of the creation. Please take note of that. I mean, you need to have your pen and pad, because I'm going to methodically go through this, and hopefully you're going to get a better understanding. The human creation is made on the same pattern as the natural creation. And Allah is instructing us in 3030, don't change that pattern. We call it fitra, the original nature. Don't change that. So in other words, so now as students, as Imam Muhammad has given to us, we can see a correlation and a relationship that we have the same pattern. We're built on the same pattern, and we're talking from a physical and nature as the rest of creation. In other words, you know, it complies with God's will and his plan for it. So now the question becomes, what is that pattern? The pattern is willing obedience. And what we want to associate with that is that the whole of the natural creation is Muslim. The whole of the natural creation is Muslim. It willingly obeys its creator. I'll call it. You know, Sister Dupreeza Hadi teaches El Asma Usna, the 99 beautiful names of Allah. And Al-Khaliq is the creator. He creates, and he creates the nature of his creation. That's the pattern that the human being was created on too, willing obedience. So where do you find that? You find that in his physical creation. How do you know? You study the baby. I mean, the baby at that point, when it comes here, it has a will, it has an intellect and all of that, so, but not conscious of it. So all that you see that baby do is only doing in that pattern what it was created to do. Okay? That's very, very important to first connect in terms of the physical. So that pattern is the same pattern that's the rest of creation. And as Imam Muhammad have taught us, that we come out of mother matter. The natural creation is matter. The birth of the human creation came out of that. But how did that come into being? It came into being, mother matter, the natural creation, the universe itself, it came out of the command and expresses the will of God, kun fayakun, be and it is. So Allah brings into the creation what he would have it to be and what it is to serve in his scheme, in his plan. And we being a micro, M-I-C-R-O, microcosm of the macro, M-A-C-R-O, meaning, as the Imam said, Big Mama, giving birth to us, we have the same properties in our physical makeup. Okay, so now, what's the difference? Well, let me go here first in terms of the prophet standing up for the deceased body. The deceased body is Muslim. It's obedient. Mm-hmm. It's obedient to whatever is coming from on the inside. It's obedient. And perhaps those of you who said that the prophet may have known this person to be a good person, of good heart, good intention, good motivation, of good qualities and characteristics, that may have been possible at that time. But there were good people in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that had status, but he didn't stand up for him. He stood up for a deceased body. So what you have to understand is that in Allah's creation, in our physical makeup, we are Muslim. In our biological makeup, we are Muslim. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually saying, that we are born Muslim, true human. Not only in terms of physical, but even in our nature that is innocent from its very, very inception, from its very, very beginning. But the difference in the uniqueness, unlike other creation, that we can be changed or altered. Our nature can be changed and altered. This is why in 3030, God is saying to us, don't change it. Don't change it. Stay with that pattern. That is the religion. That is the religion. The religion of Al-Islam is called Deen al-Fitra. It's the religion of the original nature. The original nature is to be Muslim. Mm-hmm. The original nature is to be Muslim. However, if God says don't change it, then that's saying to us that it can be altered and it can be changed. And he's given us free will. He's given us freedom to choose to think for ourselves and free will to choose for ourselves, which is very important. It's also very important that to know that Imam Muhammad gave us, when we are making this salat, in terms of the most precious position in salat is called sajda. Sajda. And he said in one of the Ramadan sessions in 1999 there at Randolph, Virginia, that when you are in sajda and you are got your 8 points that's on the ground or on the floor, one of those points is your intellect. your intellect. Now, the potential of the intellect and the soul is, in that point, is emblematic of accepting God and accepting God's plan, will and plan for your life, and being obedient. Now, as you really know, those of you know, and I know most all of you know, that the natural birth of the physical baby is looks like sajda. If it's a breech birth, that mother's in trouble. If it's feet first, you see? This is very important because we're coming from the natural creation. The natural creation, like Big Mama, coming from Mother Matter. That matter that produced the human being is the same matter of the physical makeup of our life. It was created to be obedient. It was created to be obedient. But it's very, very important that we know and understand that from Mother Matter, this is how we sustain and maintain our life. This is how we get and make our world, man's world, from the natural world or the natural creation that Allah has given to us. Our food, our clothing, our shelter, our tools, instruments, all of this comes from the natural creation. And at some point, we make two sajdas. At some point, man begins to think that he is Al-Rahman. This is another one of the 99 known beautiful names of Allah, which means that he sees himself as the benefactor. No, it always has been Almighty God Allah that has been the benefactor, and his human creation has been the beneficiary of the benefactor. So in that Jaza position, when we come up, we ask that Allah forgive us. Forgive us our fault. Forgive us for thinking that we are the one that's providing this life for us. Now, you spoke about providing the life or the guidance. But it is Almighty God, Allah, that gives us this life and the guidance in the natural creation. That's one way. So when we come to that consciousness that we are not the one that's the benefactor, we have to make a second sajda, sujood, inputting our head, which is emblematic of the intellect, which is the akal, the intellect, the free intellect. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in Hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi is next to Quran. It's not Quran, but it's revelation, but it's not Quran, which is the highest hadith. It was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the most useful, please take note, the most useful and beneficial thing that Allah created was the aql, the human brain, the human intellect, that engaged the natural creation to extrapolate the benefits that Allah has put into it. But there have to be something that has to be said in terms of the intellect, in terms of staying with the pattern of the natural creation, and that is the obedient intellect, the obedient heart, the obedience in terms of the pure intention and motivation that the human being has. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never lost that. Even before becoming the Rasul of Allah, the messenger of Allah, he kept his original nature intact despite the things that was happening in the social environment. Now, remember the Prophet said, you had to put it all together. The Prophet said that everyone is born a Muslim. but it becomes their parenting and their environment. What environment? Your social environment that can make you otherwise. I think this is something that Brother Henry was alluding to in terms of being impressionable, being influenced in that regard. But also we have to remember that some of us that came out of the church, what was said about flesh? The flesh was sinful. Flesh is sinful. But in Al-Islam, no. Flesh is not sinful. Flesh is obedient. I'm going to say that again. Flesh is obedient. The flesh, the physical makeup that Allah created is obedient by nature. And we see that in the baby. That baby can't do anything more than what it was created to do as Muslim. And a baby is not responsible until it reaches a certain age and stage in its life, which is called puberty. Now you become responsible and accountable for your thinking and your actions. This is where we talk about the first pillar for the religion of Al-Islam, which is Shahadatain. You don't become Muslim, and this is something else we want to dispel. You don't become Muslim because your parents are Muslim. So get that out of your mind. Your mother, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers, your grandparents, all of them can be Muslim. But after you reach an age and stage in your life, you have to consciously attest or bear witness. I think this is what Rashid Salam was saying, Ashahadu. I bear witness. And you bear witnessing with what it is Allah has put and given to all of us in terms of the five senses. The five senses in taking in this natural creation and coming to a logical conclusion and eliminating everything as it begins with la. No. A negation, that nothing else could be served or worshipped. You know, the priest of Hadi, in terms of saying as a servant, Brother Henry was talking about purpose. What is your purpose? Your purpose is to serve Allah. That's what God says. 51:56, for those of you who need Quranic reference, 51:56. But that's the purpose for all of creation. For all of creation is to serve Allah. And no, Allah does not discriminate, say, I'm going to make you Muslim, I'm going to make you Muslim, but I'm not going to make you Muslim. Mm-mm. So you have something to do with that in terms of staying with the original nature. Matter of fact, that's actually what was really said. That every human being is created on the fitra, the original nature. The original nature is never to be changed. It was never changed in the Prophet Muhammad. And those of you who actually have studied the seerah, the life example of the Prophet, he has so many devastating things that happened to him. As even as a boy. So many things. He didn't, by the time he reached puberty, he had no father. He never knew his father. At best, he only knew his mother, Amina, for about 2 years. His paternal grandfather, Abu Muttalib, for 2 years. And his uncle, Ali Talib, who was Ali's father, who was first cousin, raised him from that point. And he had five children with Lady Khadija. His sons were bookends. Neither one of them, Qasim nor Abdullah, lived to be beyond 2 years of age. He had another son by Abyssinian woman, one of his wives later on that was named Ibrahim. He didn't live to get beyond 2 years of age. And it was only his daughter Fatima that outlived him. And that wasn't very long before she transitioned. All of his children transitioned except for Fatima. Now, I'm just only just saying this to you, and some of these deaths occurred. You know, his wife, Lady Khadija Rahim Al-Anna, and also his uncle, who never became Muslim, but also was a protection from the Quraysh that wanted to persecute him. They had these type of agreements in terms of tribes and protection, the year of sorrow. The Prophet Muhammad went through all this devastation, but it never tarnished his nature, his original nature. It stayed intact. He became the perfect vessel for Allah's final revelation to all of humanity. This is also in terms of a sign, because when we're making this or that, and we have to put our head on the ground, on the floor, a second time, it's an acknowledgement and asking after we come back in the Jasa, after the first, you understand, sujood that we make, that to forgive us because of what it is that we have received from this natural creation and being part of the natural creation, but actually thinking that we are the ones that is the most merciful benefactor, that we are the benefactor of because of what it is that Allah has allowed the aql, the intellect, to be able to extrapolate as benefit for us, our families, for our community, for human society, and thinking, you understand, that we are the one that get the praise and we get the glory for that, when it was Allah all the time doing that. So that second salat, as Imam Muhammad has said to us, sajda that we make, that with the right heart and the right understanding and the right consciousness, that now Allah will give us the insight and the sciences, the science that's in those things that are hidden in His natural creation in terms of education and all. All of that comes out of the natural creation. But that becomes for those, you understand, that have an obedient intellect. This is how we stay, that's how the pattern that Rashid is talking about. The pattern in the natural creation is willing obedience. We are never to change the willing obedience that you find in the physical makeup. The matter is the same matter. One is micro, the other one's macro. We are a version of that. So we want to see, so what is that? Is that how we want to see that only Allah makes Muslim? He made Muslim from His command, kun fayakun, be and it is. And everything that we see in the natural creation becomes an expression of God's will. We don't see chaos in Allah's natural creation. We don't see turmoil. We don't see disorder. We don't see disharmony. We see peace, we see order, and we see beauty in Allah's natural creation. And that is what how our society, human society, is supposed to be established, with peace, order, beauty, harmony. The creations that read in the name of your Lord who creates, alcoholic. He's created the creation for us to read it and see what it is that we are able to see with the five senses. But He's also given us the ability, if the intellect is submitting and surrendering to Almighty God, Allah, that he will bless us with even more enlightenment. This is where the light comes in. It comes in through the natural creation, but it comes in through revelation also. And so this is very important for us to know and to understand that when we think about only Allah creates Muslim, but all of us create Muslim, he doesn't discriminate, and he doesn't go against his creation. As we are human beings, we are part of that creation. Revelation, he don't compel us to accept his word of revelation. We said, Salakallahuddin, surely Allah speaks the truth. That becomes a ritual for many of us. But if we really truly understand, we're talking about the truth and the reality, how Allah has created us. We have to forget in terms of, in Christianity, that the flesh is sin. The flesh is obedient. This is why the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stood up for it. It was always Muslim. It always obeyed. It may have had a bad master inside, but it was obedient. You can't fault the flesh. You can fault the thinking, the rejection of God's word and revelation. That brings about the sin and brings about the downfall of the human being and human society. When it changes the pattern, the natural pattern of all the rest of creation. So the conformity, to be in conformity with the natural creation, you are Muslim. That creation don't and won't change. That sun is Muslim. That moon is Muslim. Those stars are Muslim. The tree is Muslim. The rabbit is Muslim, etc., etc. The flowers and all is Muslim. It don't and it won't deviate. Complete obedience. And when you see how it functions, you are also getting the insight of what God's will is for it, because the whole of the natural creation expresses God's will. I'm hoping that I'm being understood tonight in terms of who makes Muslim and how is Muslim made. But he has created us to be a unique creation. And Allah does not have conflict in terms of his revelation nor his creation. And he tells us, I don't guide. Do the Muslim get the guidance? What is it that we ask for in our Fatiha? Imdina Sarato Mustaqim. Guide us on the straight path. The path of those whom you have bestowed favor and grace. Not the path of those who incur your displeasure and your wrath, nor on the path of those who go astray. And Allah answers that in Surah Baqarah. That is the book. And it is guidance, sure, without doubt, for those who are conscious regardful of me. This comes back to consciousness being regardful. We have to be consciously regardful. The rest of the creation is locked in. It only is going to express God's will. We have to choose that. What did we learn in terms of the definition that we first heard in terms of Muslim? We said a Muslim is one who willingly, here's the big word, willingly submits, surrenders, and better still, Imam Muhammad said, conform to what God's will is for you. Like the rest of creation. So it starts in the flesh. The flesh is not sinful. The flesh is Muslim. That's matter that comes from, as he say, Big Mama matter. And all throughout the creation in matter, it submits obediently is obedient to God's will. The whole of creation is Muslim. And the body, while it's here, is Muslim. Body only do what you tell it to do. You say, go right, body go right. Go left, go left. Body, somebody say, sit down, stand up. But it becomes the intellect and also the soul and the spirit of the human being in terms of its freedom to think and freedom to think and to make choices for themselves. Determine in terms of the good heart and pure intention to remain as a servant like the rest of creation. Don't change. Willing, obedient servant. Don't change. That's the same pattern. That's the pattern of the rest of creation. To reconcile ourselves with the creation is remaining Muslim. So, dear believers, we have a lot to do with us being Muslim. Allah created all of us. He didn't discriminate. He created all of us Muslim from the very, very beginning. But in the potential of the intellect and the soul and the spirit, we can deviate. We can allow influences to come into our life where we can reject the original nature that God created us in. I could say a lot more, but I think I said enough here, and I'm hoping that what it is I've said have helped those of us. And so when we have this conversation, you know, engage in a conversation in your local masajids and Islamic centers. And I'll have more of these type of topics that oftentimes we just repeat what we've heard since we come in. You know, Allah is the only one that makes Muslims. Yeah, that's true, but how so? As if and though he discriminated, I made you a Muslim, but I ain't going to make you a Muslim. And what does Allah say in the last ayat, 5:3? On this day, I have perfected your way of life. And I have completed my favor on you, and I have preferred for you the religion of Al-Islam. How do we get that? In complete, total surrender and submission to Almighty God, Allah. That is the religion. Obedience to Allah, that is the religion. But most, they say, men, but most minds understand it not. Deen al-Fitr, the religion of the original nature that is in conformity with the whole of the natural creation, that is the religion. But most understand it not. I'll stop there. And if anybody have any questions or comments they'd like to make, and we do give you opportunity to ask a question, make a comment, or if anything that may have been said tonight has resonated with you and given you a better understanding in terms of who makes Muslim and how a Muslim is actually made, is made on the command of Allah, and it is the will of Allah, because nothing in creation can come to Allah except but as a servant. This is why it said, you come willingly or unwilling. And then that goes also, I'll say this and I'll stop. We need to stop saying that when the deceased pass away, they pass away, that we're returning to Allah. No, you're not returning to Allah. Allah is not a person, place, or thing. Stop already. You're returning to God's will. God has a will for everything to come. Just the mere fact that you're here, you're an expression of God's will in terms of permitting you and I to be here. Study the science. Study the biology. This is where we talk about Rabbi Elamin. Study Imam Muhammad. Rabbi is, Allah is the nourisher. He's the sustainer. He's the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. Biology is one of those systems of knowledge. They didn't know where a baby came from 1,400 years ago. They didn't know about sperms and eggs and all of that. Now, they can't count how many sperms are actually released. But guess what? Because of our physical presence saying that Allah, that was Allah's will, that we are actually here. And when we leave, we return to God's will. And as Imam Muhammad said, we always will be returning to God's will. Allah is bigger than this. He's over the whole of creation. He's not creation. We got to stop talking like that. You don't return back to Allah. No, you return back home. You go somewhere, you return back home. You go on a vacation, you return back home. Or I'm returning to where I was born geographically. But Allah's not a place. You return to God's will. The whole of the creation, even when you transition, you're returning to what God's will is for you, not to Allah. He's bigger than the creation. You have to just have to open your mind up and get out of the Christian language in terms of how we talk. Oh, we return back to God. No, you return back to God's will. That's what produces you. Okay, go ahead. We got any callers, press 1, and you can ask your question, make a comment. I'm hoping that what I said tonight has been enlightening to you to understand this topic. Rashid, let's go.
Okay. Yes, sir. We have 718-679. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. It's Abdul Wali Shaheed, Brooklyn, New York.
Alaykum as-salam, brother Imam. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable.
Sir,
question or comment?
Yes, sir. I'm going to pose it as a question that, inshallah, you can elaborate on it some. Comes to us being patterned under the fitra in the way that Allah Ta'ala says of us that He has created. Look at the, I'm paraphrasing, look at the, that He has created communities. Like he's instructed us to pay attention to and look, turn our attention to communities like the community of bees, of ants, things like that,
and
to derive guidance and direction from them and insight from their mode of operation, so to speak, and looking at what we should be doing as a community of human beings, and. What I'm hoping that you can expound on is what comes to mind is how Allah Ta'ala says, when He says, let there arise out of you a band, inviting the good and forbidding the wrong, and those of us who, out of the collective group, like you said earlier, I'm going to tie this in, where you said that most don't understand. As Quran has said, and actually even where Allah Ta'ala has said when He spoke about when Shaitan made the threat and the promise that most were not going to be worthy of Allah's faith and trust in the commissioning of us as vicegerents on this earth, that we would not be grateful or be worthy of the position. And he agreed, he said, yeah, you'll get most of them, except for certain ones. My question is, would it be fair enough to say that disobedience or us, that the lack of our conformity and coming to our God mode and directive and following what He has said has is part of the problem with us, with, let's just say, even the Muslims, us getting, getting making the progress that we need to make.
Yes, yes, yes. No, Brother Imam, no, you're right on point. You're right on the target. We're not exempt, you know, just because we wear the label a Muslim. It's more important the content, you know, that is most important, because as Imam Waqiduddin Muhammad has said, that in definition is direction. In definition is direction. I've also added correction to that. If we just only just saying what a Muslim is, but we're not practitioner as a Muslim, if we are willingly surrendering our will, the will that God has given to the human being, so we already know that we are a unique creation, that he's given us freedom, the freedom to freely think for ourselves, and he has given us a limited free will to choose some things for ourselves. And this is what it is that we're going to be judged on. The complete obedience is emblematic in the Salat in terms of when we make sajda, as we are surrendering even the most useful and beneficial thing that Allah has given to us, the innocence that a baby have. We have to maintain that innocence and surrendering, whereas that now the heart is above the intellect. The pure intention, the motivation is above even the intellect, which is the most useful thing, because that is what is going to fuel the intellect in terms of continuously being an obedient intellect. And in doing that, the enlightenment comes to the human being. And this is how it came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we can't be prophets, but that same methodology has to work for us. It has to work for us. That the pure intention to please God, the motivation to please God, that has to fuel the intellect in terms of the thinking and working as Ab, you know, as you say, Iyaka na abudu wa Iyaka nasta'im, that Imam Muhammad said, it is only you, Allah, that we worship. It is only you, Allah, that we serve. It is only you, Allah, that we work for. And it is only you, Allah, that we seek help, assistance, and aid from. And that help and assistance and aid is in the next ayat in Al-Fatiha, in the Nasiratul Mustaqim, and that we are seeking the guidance of God. Without the guidance of God, we lost. We lost. We won't make great strides. And just because we wear the name Muslim, it means nothing. It's only in label, but it's not in content. So you're right on point, Brother Imam. We have to do that. And until we do that, you know, you be disobedient. You don't get, God is telling us, this is not Mark Shahi saying that. This is what Allah says in the Quran. He does not guide those who reject his sign. He does not, you don't get guidance. That's what God says. I don't guide those who reject my message. You just get the mess. You don't get the message, so you don't get the progress. That's how we have to see it. I could say a lot more, but I think I said enough. The hint to the wise is sufficient. We have to really, truly surrender that will that's been given to us. And then we're in conformity with the rest of the natural creation. That's why Allah said, don't change the pattern. In other words, I created you on the same pattern that I created everything else. Everything else in this creation is Muslim. Mm-hmm. So Allah does make Muslim. He don't discriminate. It's only you, the human being, that can deviate. He don't discriminate. You can deviate from that. That's why God says in 33, don't change it. Because what he has done is perfect. He tells us in the last ayah, that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave on Mount Arafat. Mm-hmm. That was the last, 5-3. On this day, I have perfected your way of life, and I have completed my favor. What favor? The last ayat is the completion of that. When the first ayat to the prophet was to read the natural creation, now I've completed that. And I have preferred for you the religion of Al-Islam. How can you beat that? When the Lord of all the worlds, the Rabb, the teacher, Allah is our teacher. He teaches us first through the natural creation, through revelation. So if we choose not to accept that, that's on us. That's on us. We can't say Allah chose you to be a Muslim. He chose you, but he didn't choose you to be a Muslim. Stop it already. You don't understand what you're saying. You got some say-so in this matter. Because Allah has already given you the provisions. I can stop that, buddy, ma'am. I know we might have another call or two, but thank you. It's an honor to have you to call in and ask that. But you're right on point, my brother. We can't go by label. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Press one as you go out. Rashid Salam, any other hands in the air?
No more, because the mics are open. We got about 5 minutes left, so.
Oh, we got 5 minutes left. So we're going to need to get off of here. And hopefully we do a little mini check that if what you heard tonight, did that resonate with you? If it did, I'm going to ask you to press one and hold it for 10 seconds. Rashid will give me a report afterwards. If what you heard tonight, did this help you in understanding? You understand? Allah makes Muslims and how a Muslim is made. Press one. If you did, hold it for 10 seconds, and I'm at 5, and I'm at 10. So did we get it? Any participation, you can talk to me afterwards, Rashid, let me know, and everything. But we want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow, the Sister Learning Lab, that is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with Khalilah Akbar and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and we'll be on the True Love Recipe, and so we ask that you do tune in for that. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Friday is Salat al-Jumah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio here with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that starts each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Saturday, the Muslim Book Reading Club, and we'll be on the second volume of Outstanding Publication by Dr. Zakia Muhammad on our Honorable First Lady and Mother of our Community. That will be Sister Clara Evans Muhammad. Once you pick it up, you won't be able to put it down. It's each and every Saturday now, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern is high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People Sounds Familiar. You can get it each and every Sunday here with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that happens each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern is high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Sunday. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts a production called ABC. It is easy as 1, 2, 3, but Al-Islam based conversation, that stands for ABC. A variety of topics are talked about on that program. It starts each and every Monday evening, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. He has expanded his program, and this year, 2024, he's doing more. The Science of Your Health and Your Wealth Learning Lab. Yeah, that's right. The two are combined. You'll see the correlation that the two have together. You want to bring your ink pen and you want to bring your notebook and take good notes for that learning lab. It's each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And tonight, this is Wednesday night, it's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, and Rashid Salam, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where you learn what correct parenting is from an Islamic perspective and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And you just heard it, and that's 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. You just heard it live. The MGM Roundtable with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, email Wasuddin Muhammad, also outside the community, and topics like tonight that are pertinent to us as a community. Want to say last but not least that IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journalists' lifeblood of our community. And those of you that have let your subscriptions lapse, please pick it back up. Let's help give the Muslim Journal a good start. We have a one-year subscription. Let's double it, make it 2 years. If you have the wherewithal, let's think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a community member, a pioneer, your local library, where this news in terms of al-Islam, what we all about, is an excellent da'wah tool. Make it a gift. As Ramadan is fast approaching, that would be an excellent e-gift after the end of Ramadan. So I want to thank all of you who tuned in tonight, our radio listening audience, because without you, there would not be IWDM Radio. A special thanks go to Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and Rashid Salam, my engineer extraordinaire, for actually engineering this program, because without him, I couldn't be on the air. And a special thanks go to all of you who tuned in to the MGM Roundtable, and especially those of you who made contributions tonight, greatly appreciated. So I want to say to you, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. As-salamu
alaykum.
Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. Shower down his mercy and raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true. And for his love and mercy, there is nothing I wouldn't do. Of our mission, he's there to change the world's condition. Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. Showers down his mercy in raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true. And for his love and mercy, there is nothing I wouldn't do. Helping me be patient, he's there. When I need someone to talk to, he's there. With tender loving care, Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. Showers down his mercy and raindrops of love. Allah really loves me.